is the Tom Likas Show.
Coke, weed, booze, lewds, and speed.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
I like being a cartoon.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at throwmeuptom.com. You can hear our show on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We do it every Tuesday. And joining us in studio for free legal advice is criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, thanks for coming in again.
Evening, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing okay. What's going on?
Well, I got a follow-up case I want to work on, something that I think you're going to find really interesting. This is someone who was on the show before. I remember in the old radio days, it was like only one call every 30 days or something like that, but we're a little easier on that than Tom Likas' show. Like you have Paul from Sydney every day or every other day, right?
I don't know if it's that often, but it's more than every 30 days.
No, yeah, he's good. I like having him on. By the way, I'm sitting here in a Gary and Dino T-shirt. And it's beautiful.
Wow.
I think I bought the first one or something. I actually bought it, by the way, so there's no kidding around here.
Look at this.
Is this an extra large, right?
Yeah.
It's very comfortable. And I got the Gary and Dino show. It's got something on the back, too, right?
Yeah, Third Man Militia.
There you go.
So this you mean is, you haven't looked at the back? You just threw it on?
I don't. You know, I was so excited to
How
have
do you know
one.
It doesn't say kick me?
I trust Dino. He wouldn't do that to me. So, no, these are good. These are good. I think this is a proper attire for the party next week and everything else. But anyway, so you may recall, Tom, that I had a client that he was really sharp. He did everything that we talked about. It looked like his case was supposed to be a DUI, and ultimately the police charged him with a hit and run, which is pretty serious. And we ended up turning the whole thing around, but they were so nasty about it, they kept it going. And ultimately, I'm going to let him tell what happened. Is he on? We have him?
I'm checking right now. Let me see. I lost communication. Hang on a second. Here. Well, these things happen.
I understand.
You know what we do? We roll with the punches here. While I'm connecting,
we lost a whole stream yesterday. That was exciting, right?
Well, we didn't. Most of the radio industry did.
I'll go ahead and punch him up. That's not a problem.
Oh, well, Gary's
right,
getting involved
there we go.
Here.
Punch him up.
There we go. Hello?
I can't punch him up, so you guys punch him up.
We're here. Hello.
Rob,
hello. Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, Tom. Hey, Gary.
So...
What's going on, Dino? Adam?
Hey.
Oh, man. I'm still celebrating coming off of yesterday.
All right, we'll get to that in a second. So you coming to the party, right, Rob?
Yeah, hell yeah, I'm
there
with bells on, man.
There we go. So, anyway, Tom, you may recall that I always say, you know, not to do the field sobriety test and not to do the breath test. And, you know, it's frustrating because I get a lot of guys call me. It's the craziest thing. And they say, you know, I love your show and I listen to every week and I really appreciate what you say and you sound like a great lawyer. And I got pulled over a couple days ago and I did exactly what you told me not to do, you know? And it's always like, come on, man, we were listening. And I think maybe Rob can address this because I think it's, you know, it's a high pressure situation, obviously, dealing with the police. But the beauty of Rob is that Rob really followed. So, Rob, tell us again, just to refresh everybody, what happened?
Well, I was on my way home, and, you know, I had these kids, you know, they think they're too fast, too furious in the neighborhood. So I had a veer out of the way of one of these guys oncoming at me, and I basically hit a Edison power pole, and, you know, I basically did no damage to, you know, any public property other than my own. And, I made it home. It was just a half a block away from my house. And, I was already at home slamming down some beers in the shot and eating some tacos, and then fucking Johnny Law comes and gets me at the house about 45 minutes later.
All right, so hold on. We're making it sound a little simpler than it was. So you ended up hitting a power pole, as I recall, right?
Yeah, I did.
And this could have been interpreted as a drinking and driving case, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah, that's what they tried to go after. But since they couldn't get that charge, they decided to go after it and run.
So the cops came to your house because I think they followed the trail of fluids from your car.
Tears. Yeah, the trail of tears, yeah.
Right. And then this is the important thing. They immediately hit you up for the field test and for the blow test, right?
Oh, shit, yeah, man. They wanted me, you know, okay, first they wanted me to do the field sobriety. You know, I ain't jumping through no hoops. I mean, they already knew I was drinking. They could smell it all over me.
So what's it like when you say no to the police? Like, how did they treat you?
They got pissed.
Yeah?
They got pissed. They didn't like it because it wasn't making their jobs easier.
What did they say to you?
They're going
to
make it hard on us. They said they're going to make it hard on us.
So that suggests, like, if you make it hard on us, we're going to make it harder on you.
Yeah, sure. Lucky I had some witnesses there. They're about to probably beat me down in my whole front yard.
I think you said that the cops are like were touching their gun or whatever. They were kind of like going for it.
Yeah, going for the collapsible baton. Yeah.
All right. Okay. And then they wanted to do the blow test. I'm glad you can laugh about it now, but I think it's pretty heavy when it's going on.
Sure.
When they wanted to do the blow test, the breathalyzer, you also refused, right?
I sure did.
So you said, I want to go to the hospital, right? And what happened in that situation?
Well, we waited there for hours and hours. You know, I mean, all they did was basically take my blood pressure, and that was it. We sat there for almost 3 hours, and the guys just said, you know what, fuck, this is just taking too long. So he just took me to the station and booked me.
So you see, Tom, this is a beautiful thing. What happens is he ends up going to the hospital for the blood test, and it's late at night. It must have been like a shift change or whatever was going on. The nurses and the doctors are all doing their own thing, and so they sat there for several hours, and the police actually finally said, look, the hell with this, and left. So he didn't end up getting the blood test after all. So whatever the hell it was, it couldn't be used against him. And obviously it wasn't a refusal because he was cooperating. Now, if he had done the breathalyzer, it would immediately may have shown a high reading if he had been drinking. And in fact, if they had done the blood test, by the time they did it, it was already going to be like 2 or 3 or 4 hours later. So it would have had all that time for the body to metabolize what he had drunk at that point. And
let me jump
in
here with a stupid question. How long was it between the time this incident happened and the time the cops showed up at the front door?
It was about 45 minutes, Tom.
Now, Adam, we're glad that your guest did not do the blow test, did not admit to anything. Could the cops have made a case? I mean, they didn't catch him in the car drinking.
Right.
How do they know where he had those drinks? He could have gone home and started drinking.
By the way, that's something that absolutely changes circumstances as well, and I wrote that in what we call a trial brief, which is that when he got home, when he hit the pole, he actually hurt himself. He hit his clavicle against the steering wheel. So I wrote that when he got home, his mother gave him some ice and, you know, put some first aid, and he had a drink of beer to calm himself down. So when the cops got there later and said, you smell like alcohol, we don't know when that was from. That could have been from, obviously, after the time he was driving. So you see how you're just throwing things off. Now, ultimately, the police got frustrated. They didn't do the blood test, but they're so spiteful that they still took him back in and charged him with a hit and run. And this was outstanding because, you know, when you have a hit and run, that means that you were in an accident. Either you hit let's say a parked car or you hit a person and then you drove away. Now what you're supposed to do, obviously, if you hit a person, you're supposed to stop and administer first aid. If you hit a car or something like that and you cause property damage, you're supposed to write a note. You know that's actually true, Tom?
Really?
Yeah, it's no doubt. You're supposed to.
When's the last time anybody got a note out there?
It's not.
By the way, are you supposed to write a note when you're at Trader Joe's and somebody's shopping cart comes from 50 yards away and hits your car? Are they supposed to leave a note? They never do.
Well, this technically.
Not at Walmart.
I don't know. listen, you're supposed to write a note. Otherwise, you've hit something and you've split without identifying, you know, the person whose property
is damaged. Wait. So if somebody's shopping cart hit my car and they just left, is that a hit and run?
I think that it's, you know, a shopping cart is not exactly your car, you know. But if you cause damage, you're supposed to take responsibility. You live in civil society. You're not supposed to smash into things and then just say, oh, fuck, no one's around and leave, you know.
Which is exactly what 99% of everyone does.
Okay, well, as a practical matter, the police turned around and charged Rob with a hit and run. And that's a, you know, serious offense. Now, we're going into court, and I was dealing, this is, you'll appreciate this, Tom. The first couple times we went in.
That was awesome.
What's that?
That was awesome. It's the way it worked out.
No, of course. The first couple times we went in, I was dealing with this prosecutor, Tom, and she was pretty new. And I'm not going to say her whole name, but her first name was Destiny. Seriously.
Okay.
I swear to God, a very serious lawyer, not stupid or anything, but I said to her, as a joke even, I just said to her, I said, you know, you have a stripper name.
Oh, my.
And she had a sense of humor. She was okay, so that was pretty cool. So we dealt with her a couple of times, but then she got replaced by this Asian dude, and he was tough as nails, Tom. He wouldn't compromise. He wouldn't negotiate. And
yeah,
he was
4 feet tall.
What, you remember him?
Yeah. He looked like 16 years old.
Well, I know he was a young guy, but he was really tough, and he was like, I'm not giving you an inch. I don't give a shit. And you know, I followed through, and we were, you know, literally going to go to trial, essentially. And he was again replaced by this younger lady, and she was fairly new at it. And I started talking to her, and I was just describing the case. And this is this week, actually. And she was just kind of looking at me and thinking about it, and she looked at the papers. And the case got called, and she said to the judge, the county is going to drop this case in the interest of justice. And that was it. Bam.
Yeah.
Now, when you think about, again, and I'm not trying to be a know-it-all, but the fact is Rob did exactly what we talk about, that he refused to do the field test. He refused to do the breath test. He insisted on the blood test, which paid him off very well. If it had gone through, I think it would have been hours later, so that would have been great. In any case, he didn't do it at all because the cops got tired of waiting at the hospital. Also, we had this, you know, crazy cover story, which we could have used, which was that maybe when his drinking was starting was after the accident because of the disconnect with the police coming 45 minutes later. That was just the circumstances. And then ultimately, the real glue was that they couldn't make this issue stick with the hit and run because he hit a pole, and the question was, should he have left a note to the pole? That was the we could have made a joke about that. What Rob was going to do, right, Rob? This is serious. Rob was going to call the utility company the next day.
Yes.
When he, you know, because it was, the accident was, you know, God knows, it was almost midnight.
A couple of splinters, yeah, came out the pole.
I think the pole lost two splinters. So he was going to call the company the next day and tell them. So he was totally trying to do the right thing as a stand-up guy, as a proper citizen. But the idea, and I actually wrote this, as I said in the brief, I said, what exactly was he supposed to do? Leave a note to the pole? That's stupid. You know, that makes no sense. And, you know, when you're the prosecutor and you're sitting there arguing something stupid and foolish, and, you know, they start to see how the jury's going to come, how the jury trial is coming, you know, they don't want to lose cases. And as much as they push and they want to prosecute everything, at the same time, they don't want to embarrass themselves. And I think that they have a lot of motivation where, as I've talked about this, you go to court and you have 100 people pleading guilty, one after another, boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden you walk in and you've got a private lawyer and you're talking about fighting the case. And they say, literally, who needs this aggravation? Who needs this? This is a hassle. Let's just get this guy out of here. And it really paid off for Rob in this case.
So let's make one thing clear here. It sounds to me, and I've heard so many of the guests you bring in, Adam, and so many of these stories, and it sounds to me like the system essentially is built around counting on people not hiring lawyers.
No, it's true,
not
Tom.
Knowing what's happening to them, not knowing they have rights, not understanding what their rights are. So it's all built around ignorance of the law, which, of course, they'll tell you is no excuse. So you don't know the law. You don't know what to do. You try to cut corners, and you don't go in with an attorney. And they took full advantage of that every single time. Whereas if you know a few basics, like our guest did, including not to take the breath, not to incriminate himself, on top of that, you combine that with having an attorney. It sounds to me like if you are prepared, you have a very good fighting chance of not getting convicted. By the way, Adam Sachs, for complete disclosure, he's done that with a couple of my speeding tickets.
Uh-oh.
Now, usually you get a speeding ticket.
Is this disclosure time now?
Well, I'm disclosing. Adam did the job, but here's the thing. Normally, you just say, oh, shit, that's $271, that's $408, or whatever. You're prepared to pay it. You're prepared to take the hit for the insurance and everything. But, my God, when you go in with an attorney and you do it right,
yep, right,
many of these things simply go away because they'd rather spend their time on people who don't have attorneys, don't know what's going on, and those are the people who pay for the rest of the people who do bring in attorneys and are prepared for the gameplay.
Right.
Yeah, and
it's
people that don't know the tricks of the system, you know. I mean, I listen to all the stuff that you guys say, and I follow pretty much everything that you guys have preached to the on the show to the T, and that's why we're in the position that we're in, and it's all thanks to you, Tom, and you and Adam for, you know, informing everybody that should be listening to every fucking word you guys say and take it as law, and it'll work for you, man, if you freaking just do it right, man. I mean, and don't be a fool and fucking go up there with the public defender, man. You got to freaking pay for some help, man, because they're not going to take care of you. They're just going to want to get you in and out, and that's it.
You know, Rob, I want to make a small little detail, and this is a little kind of a family issue. This is interesting, Tom. I met one of the first hearings we had. Rob came with his dad, and he's a very nice gentleman. And Rob, what was your dad telling us to do?
Yeah, well, he wanted me to fucking bend over and fucking just get it over with, so that, you know, he could just, you know, put out a plea, and you know what? I had my fucking faith in Adam, and I didn't fucking want to do that shit, because, you know, fuck it, if I probably would have had to do a little bit of time. But you know what? I didn't want to, you know, I put my faith in Adam, and you know what? We're all good now.
You know, it was hard, Tom, because at that point, and I mean absolutely no disrespect to Rob's father, he was a very well-meaning person, and I think from his point of view, he wasn't happy to see his son in trouble. And, you know, people talk about this thing about, you know, get it over with. And here, I'm sort of the speculator. I'm the gambler. I'm saying to, I read the case very carefully, and I'm saying to Rob, hey, I think we can fight this. I think we can beat this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And here's the father, and he was, you know, just a very rational person, and he's looking at the same situation, and he's saying, I don't want to deal with this. I want to plead right now and get this done with and let it be over. I mean, that, you know,
yeah,
you see how people can think that way. And, you know,
you had to say, but, you know, I let you take the reins.
No, I appreciate that, but you have to have confidence in you know, your attorney who you're working with, and
damn right,
you think I'm a genius for winning, but if I had lost, I think you'd probably be upset. You know, it's a risk,
tremendous
risk.
I knew it was a risk. I knew it was, but I had to do it because the evidence wasn't there for that, so to speak.
Now, when you think about the way the system works and what you were talking about before, Tom, it really is true that people that don't go in and don't have, let's say, the intelligence or, you know, particularly the money, I would say, very often, to get attorneys, and they go in either without counsel or they get a public defender or whatever. Well, what ends up happening, I think, is you get railroaded. I mean, in the same way that you talk about knowledge is power, it's like guys today getting married. You know, Tom and I rail against that, and we talk about that, but you see that a lot of people that don't know any better, you know, they say, oh, you know, Tom was off the air and I wasn't listening and I got married or whatever. But the reality is that people do things because they don't understand and they don't recognize it. I'll give you a good example. I got a call from somebody in the past few days who got a DUI and, you know, like you say, get it over, pled guilty, just wanted to be done with it, and that's fine. But, you know, that has its limits, and pled guilty. But then, don't forget, that puts you on 3 years of probation, a lot of fines, a lot of other issues. And this person got arrested again last week for something serious. And now, not only is it that crime, but it's the violation of probation. So now we're talking about a second misdemeanor going to jail. Now, Tom, you talk about the tickets that I fixed for you. For example, like you say, if you had pled guilty to the first speeding ticket, right, and just said, the hell with it, I'll pay it, and done traffic school or whatever, then pled guilty on the second one, right? Now on the second one, it's your second offense. You don't have traffic school anymore. Now you're in a much more difficult situation the second time around, and you'd be facing a point on your license, which ends up raising your insurance, right? And you've got several cars,
right?
So that would have cost you a lot. I mean, if your insurance went up for what? You have three or four cars, right?
Four.
Yeah. So you got four cars. Your insurance goes up 25-30%. And plus the actual issue. You can't do traffic school more than once every year and a half. And now you have two convictions. If you go now and get another speeding ticket, God help you, now you'd be guilty of what? A third one? Now all of a sudden you're losing your license. So it's the same thing in the criminal side of things, and obviously tickets are less serious, but when you talk about someone who got a DUI, and now it's their second DUI, or now it's a new offense, and it's during the period of probation, that reopens the DUI because now you're on probation, and you've broken your probation by getting rearrested, and then you face the old charge and the new charge.
That's what they offered us, Adam.
What's that, probation?
Yeah, well, if I were to get in trouble again on probation, then they would have reopened the case.
You know,
the DUI charge.
When we were dealing with that whole thing, there was this really kind of, I'm sorry to say, racist thing. And I think, Rob, you're Hispanic, right?
Yeah, I'm half Native American and Hispanic.
The prosecutors kept saying to me, how many priors does he have, you know? Which is like automatic in their thinking, you know. Of course he's got six priors, you know.
And my record's clean.
I said, the guy's got nothing. This is his first arrest ever, you know? And they're like, oh, he doesn't, how many priors, you know?
Well, I'm 30 fucking 5 years old, man. Shit, I was an upstanding member of the community.
Damn right.
Until this happened.
The first thing that Rob started saying to me when we got the whole thing dismissed is like, can he make a claim against the state somehow, you know, to get some kind of compensation for the whole experience. I don't know if that's possible,
man.
In this case.
You know, I had to resign from my job because, you know, all this shit happened, and I had a commercial license. You know, working for a county agency, I won't say which one, but they forced me to resign because of this whole fucking thing.
Yeah, that's just being accused of a crime. You know, there's a famous instance of a guy on Wall Street in New York years ago who was some kind of a high powered stockbroker, and he got arrested and prosecuted, but it was actually by Rudolph Giuliani before he was mayor. He had been a U.S. attorney, and this guy was prosecuted and went through like a long trial, and he was found not guilty. And the guy said at the end of the thing, he said, okay, now I'm not guilty. What do I do now? Where do I go to get my reputation back? And can I get my former life back? And I think that Rob, in his own way, had this job, and just because he was only accused of a hit and run, he's already been dismissed, he had to resign, whatever, and his life gets disrupted. You know, we work hard, I get the case dismissed, that was good, but then it's like, hey, look at the impact that this has had on my life, it's so unfair. And that's the danger, that's the power of the state. That's why prosecution is a big deal, and it's something that has to be done, you know, very carefully rather than liberally. When we talk about the status of DUI, and I talked to Mr. Checkpoint about this lately, you know, there's something like 250 to 300 drunk driving arrests every day in Los Angeles alone. I mean, think of how many hundreds of people that is and how it impacts their lives. And this is actually something, and Tom and I talked about this a lot, right, Tom, how the counties have a cottage industry where they're making tons of money sending people to these classes. And you know,
it's very much like all these cameras. that even though they've been taken down in Los Angeles,
right.
I don't know if you know this, Beverly Hills has just put up a slew of new cameras in new locations.
How nice.
And they actually, get this, they actually studied which intersections people blew through the stop sign or blew through the traffic light the most for whatever reason and put the cameras there. To generate revenue. That's the reason they did it. They didn't do that.
There's no doubt about it.
Because they're trying to save people. Well, and because now when people see there's a camera, they jam on the brakes.
And get rear-ended.
And frequently there are rear-end collisions at these intersections.
Listen, the government doesn't care about you, okay? Please, let's face it.
I know.
Look at the government taxes cigarettes, right? They want to tax marijuana, right?
That's what they're doing.
You can buy guns
at
Walmart.
That's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing with DUIs and other infractions. They're trying to generate as much revenue as they can from this. That's all this is about.
Well, that's true.
That's why, like you always say, Tom, you know, that if they made it a severe felony penalty, like one time and you're done, nobody would ever do it, right?
That's right. You know, like I always say, look, yeah, you want to get rid of drunk driving? Here's how you do it. Your first offense, you lose your license for 5 years. Your second offense, you go to prison for 5 years, and you lose your license for 10 years. Third offense, life in prison. You want to know something? That's the end of drunk driving
come on,
right there.
Tom. They can't put that many people.
That's it.
You know, the 250 to 300 people that get arrested every day for drunk driving in L.A., they used to have to post bail. And now all of them, virtually all of them, are released without bail because they don't have enough room in the jails, Tom. When you get sentenced now, I got guys that plead and get 30 days or 60 days to, like, minor offenses sometimes. They don't serve 60 days. They serve 3 or 4 days. They get let out.
Right.
There's no room for them. So the idea, what you're saying, brilliant as it is, that we're going to put these people away for drunk driving for life, bullshit, man.
They're not going to. The reason they're not going to do it is because it's too profitable to do what they're doing now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are other countries. I think Sweden is one of them. Sweden, liberal country, liberal this, liberal that, high taxes, the national health care. If you get caught drunk driving, the penalties are way more severe than they are in this country.
They take it much more seriously.
And the result is they don't have drunk driving.
Yeah, well, they have less of a problem. That's certainly true. They also don't have alcohol
drunk,
in the supermarket.
But they got no drunk driving.
Yeah, they also don't have alcohol around in the same way we do. It's much more complicated to get it and to deal with it and when it can be purchased and all this other nonsense.
I don't think it's more complicated. I think in Europe, people don't they don't have this mystery around drinking. And there's none of this glamour or suspense about it. Alcohol is everywhere. Do you know in Spain, the drinking age is 15. Do you know that a 15-year-old can go into McDonald's? In McDonald's, you can have a big at 15, you can have a Big Mac and a beer.
Yeah, that's great.
Or 10 beers
in a glass, by the way.
No, in a McDonald's cup. And do you want to know? You want to know how many times I saw that when I was in Spain? Never.
Yeah,
never.
It has no mystique. It's no big deal.
When it's available, then no one's interested.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. There's also, you know, you see casinos in places, it's no big deal. But
by the way, that's Spain also.
When we grew up, Tom, right, and this is true in New York, you couldn't buy alcohol in the supermarket the way you do in California. Alcohol was in stores that only could sell alcohol.
Even today you can't buy liquor, and you can't buy, I'm not so sure you can buy... Yeah, I'm not so sure you can buy wine. I can get beer. But I don't know about wine. I know booze. No, you cannot get vodka in the supermarket like you can in California. You can't.
I saw even a state liquor store or something.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember even things like, you know, they were closed on Sunday. Can't buy alcohol on Sunday. You can't buy it after 10 p.m.
Well, when I was in Boston, let me tell you something. They had laws. You could not sell liquor on Sunday.
Yeah.
Except... in the 4 weeks leading up to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Christmas season, there you go.
So Sunday was sacred, but the 4 weeks of Christmas selling season, you could sell booze on Sunday.
So they do have a sense of humor,
praise
Tom.
Jesus.
It's pretty outrageous. Hi, Rob.
You
good story.
So hard,
thank you.
No, thanks, Tom. Hey,
listen,
and congratulations.
I cannot thank Adam enough, and I can't stress enough. to all the homies out there, all the guys listening, everybody out there, get help. Get a lawyer. If you fuck up, hey, man, you know what? Maybe you can get help, and you'd be a fool not to, whether with family or criminal, whatever, man. I mean, even, you know, he'll work with you. He'll work with you. Adam will fucking work with you, man. So don't be a fool.
Sounds good to me, Rob. Good luck. Thank you for telling a great story.
Yeah, I was really proud to represent Rob, and we had a great outcome.
Sounds good to me. I'm going to take a break. We got callers coming in for Adam. Adam is here as criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Whether it's a DUI or you got busted for drugs or they said you did something and you didn't do it, or maybe you did it, but they can't prove you did it. You know, all these questions about whether or not you committed the crime, Adam will answer those questions. This is free legal advice for you right now, and all you have to do is call this number. It's 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM for free legal advice from attorney Adam Sachs right now. It's 901-3000-866.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
All right, boys, let's talk insurance. Coslo Insurance. COSTLO. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslo since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslo. Well, you know I was so happy with their service. Now I've added two more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills, and it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Coslo has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CosloInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CosloInsurance.com today. Coslo. COSTLO.
A man and his truck. A man, his truck, and his favorite radio station. And come the ballads and the broads and the bullshit. Now that man is driving around in his truck in a storm, in the mud, looking for his balls. Over here, dummy.
We are very excited about welcoming our friends at Triangle Billiards. Hey, this is a store for you, boys. Triangle Billiards has been serving satisfied customers since 1978 with the best selection of products by the best in the business. Now we're talking the good stuff, boys. This is all the fun stuff. Pool tables, air hockey, shuffleboard, foosball, darts, custom cues, and much more. Check out their two convenient locations with friendly, experienced salespeople to serve you in both Orange and Costa Mesa. And, of course, you can visit them online at TriangleBilliards.com. That's TriangleBilliards.com. Now, for a limited time, use promo code TOM at checkout or when you place your order by phone and get a free McDermott custom two-piece cue, a $255 value when you purchase a new pool table. Act soon, and they'll throw in a free cue case worth $70. This is an amazing deal. Remember to drop my name to get those freebies at Triangle Billiards. Call them or visit today. The number is 866-941-2564. Or go to TriangleBilliards.com. Shipping is available worldwide. So call them today, 866-941-2564, or go to TriangleBilliards.com. Listen, boys, start having real fun now.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. free legal advice from attorney Adam Sachs at 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. Speaking of Triangle Billions, they are our newest sponsor for the Tom Likas Show third anniversary party that is coming up on Thursday, April 2nd, 8 p.m. till midnight. And the list is getting long. We're up around 175 people confirmed now. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be crazy. 3 years we've been doing this as of that night, and we are going to be celebrating. They'll be calling it the House of Blues when we're done with it at the Foundation Room of the House of Blues on the Sunset Strip. You can get on the guest list right now. Just go to letmein.party. 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 Triangle Billiards, pool tables, air hockey, shuffleboard, foosball, darts, custom cues, and much more. Start having real fun now. Go to TriangleBillions.com. All right, 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. Here's Brian in Seattle for criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam. Yeah, with the story you were talking about earlier with this guest you had on, you mentioned that the police came to his house and he answered the door.
Right.
And I was wondering if you could touch on when the police come to your door and how to handle the situation, and when they're saying, let me into your party, and I know there's right and wrong ways to handle it, you know, and because, you know, if you let your guard down, they'll more or less try to talk their way into your house and start looking for more things to get you on the hook for, you know. They'll start claiming things. It's like, oh, smells like pot in here or something like that, and try to escalate a situation. I was wondering if you could touch on how to handle when the law enforcement knocks on your door.
Right. You know, it's the same thing that Senate worked on a little bit when you get pulled over, is how far down do you lower the window? And there were some people that opened it just a little, you know. But when you talk about your house, what they see is very significant. And obviously they're trying to gather evidence against you. It's very clear. People need to know this. And when the cops, when you open the door and the cops see things, that's what they call plain view. And then there's also the things you're talking about, like smelling marijuana or alcohol or other awareness of other things that are around. And it's the same thing you have to keep in mind, which is essentially that issue of, you know, anything you say can and will be used against you. Now, broadly speaking, when the cops knock on your door, you know, you don't have to answer, and you're probably better off not dealing with it. Now, if they're pursuing you...
So if there was some way that he knew law enforcement was at the door and just didn't want to deal with it, just not answer the door.
You know, it's a personal choice. You know, if you hide out in the house and they're really pursuing you for, I don't know, a bank robbery, you know, they might break down the door. If they're what they call in hot pursuit or whatever, they think that you have a gun or something like that. You can have your mom answer the door and say, you know, my son's not here or whatever. But however you slice it, if you come downstairs or you do open the door, talk to the police. The important thing to tell them is, you know, I'm not going to cooperate. I needed my attorney here. I'm not answering your questions. And what Rob talked about, and this is something obviously I got really into the case, we got very into what the police were saying, but what Rob mentioned just now is that they are, you know, tough, they're coercive. There's a whole mental trick that they try to play with people to get you to what's called self-incriminate, which means to mess yourself up and, you know, to give information that incriminates you. But, I mean, here he was being told, and I've had cops tell people this, you know, you have to do the field sobriety test. You have to do the breath test. And you don't. And cops lie. And cops will say to you, you have to cooperate. And then they'll use psychology like they did with him. You know, you're making this harder on yourself. There's some kind of idea that somehow if you cooperate with the police or you do what they want, and they're going to like you and they're going to give you a better time of it. And there is some truth to it, believe it or not, because, for example, in a DUI pullover, sometimes when you're polite to the cop or you're more cooperative, they'll let you leave the car in like a shopping center, a parking lot. And if they don't like you, then they'll tow the car, which obviously is going to cost you a lot of money and trouble. So it's not completely false. And as I've said, you have to walk a fine line where, you don't want to come off as an asshole. And, you know, we have crazy cops, at least theoretically, that beat people up and stuff. I'd like to believe that that's very unusual. But you want to be in a kind of situation where you firmly stick to your rights, but you don't have to be nasty. And you need to say, and this is the thing you're talking about. I mean, if you you want to not open the door, don't open the door. I'm sure they'll be back, you know. But generally speaking, if you do have a contact with the police, wherever it is, and especially at your own home, but in general, is look, I don't know what you're talking about. I need my attorney present during any questioning. And then when they say, well, we want to do so-and-so test, I'm sorry, I'm not going to submit to that. Period.
Well, what if they ask to step in your home? I mean, you should not let them even pass your threshold.
I couldn't agree more. By the way, that's very, very common, very typical. You open the door.
Sometimes I've heard they'll try to shoulder their way in, you know?
Well, they're not supposed to force, but, you know, the doors, like, for example, some people have the door partially ajar, like it's open a little. So the cop knocks a couple of times and, you know, starts walking in. It's very typical that they'll say, can I come in? You know, people have the cop sitting there at the dining room table or whatever, in the kitchen table. You know, I mean, that's your life. I wouldn't want the cops in my house. And generally speaking, as I've said, they're looking around. They're not stupid. They're investigating you for some reason. And so, you know, you carelessly leave something around. I mean, even stupid things. There have been cases that have been solved.
It's the middle of summer. You've got your front door open, and for some reason call from the neighbors. Maybe there's some noise or something like that. If your front door is wide open, can they walk right in your house and say, hey, what's going on?
They will tap the door, knock, knock, and walk in. That's not a joke, because you obviously are not having an expectation of privacy because you're leaving the door open. And, I mean, you know, when they use the words, they say, can I come in? And you have to be a rude asshole and say, no, I'm sorry, you can't, you know? And they'll say to you, what do you mean? What's the problem? How come, you know, why are you being that way, you know? And you just have to say, look, I'm sorry. You're an officer of the law, and I'm not going to talk to you unless my lawyer's present. And, you know, the difference is very significant later on when you see in court and how the information against you has been gathered and how the case has developed. These police officers that you're meeting at your house or wherever, they're going to testify against you. I don't know how people don't understand that, okay? They're not your friends. Their job as police is to investigate and prosecute crimes. And they're going to be the same exact officers. They do not like you. And by the way, a lot of people get confused. Hispanics, where officers are talking to them in Spanish, and they say, oh, he's like me. He's Hispanic. He's from Mexico, whatever. He speaks Spanish like I do. He's helping me. I told you, and I've said on the air many times, how people have the officer has their business card. Tom used to kid around about how a stripper gives you her business card. Well, here the officer gives you a business card, and people are telling me, you know, John is trying to help me. And I'll say, who's John? And they'll say, Officer John. Like they're friends, you know, they're on a first name basis. And cops will use the psychology, especially on parents, I'm sorry to say, where they'll say, I'm trying to help you and your son. I'm trying to help your family. You know, I just want your son to cooperate. And the mother plays into that, and she thinks that because he cares, he was kind to her, he's speaking Spanish or whatever, that he's on her side. But the truth is that he is the one who's going to testify against the son. And he's going to be the one getting the son, you know, put away for 15 years or whatever. So, I mean, it's very confusing
in
that respect.
The cop could have feigned a concern. It's like, well, I followed this trail from your car. I was wondering if the car is all right or the person driving it was all right.
One of the things I understand. One of the things that was really obnoxious, actually, in the way the cops behaved is that, as I mentioned, Rob had hurt his clavicle against the steering wheel, and he was in a lot of pain, and he was holding ice against it when he opened, the mother opened the door, and he came out and was talking to the police on the porch, which is smart, by the way, that they didn't come in the house. But the bottom line is they never said to him, hey, are you hurt? Would you like to go to the hospital? I think that was very indecent of them. You know, they are so laser focused, as Tom talked about, in terms of making the money on their little cottage industry of DUI, that the second they took a look at this guy, they're like talking about a field sobriety test and a blow test. And here he's got an ice pack, and he's all black and blue on his clavicle, and they didn't ever say to him, you know, hey, do you need a doctor? I mean, they don't care. It's kind of sad. And then they took him to the hospital, and the only purpose was to give the blood test. And they never even said to any of the nurses or any of the people, hey, this guy hurt himself. Maybe he broke his clavicle or something. He needs an X-ray or something. It was all about the DUI. And then you could see how the cops were so frustrated that they didn't get the DUI straight because so many hours went by without a blood test because of a shift change or whatever it was, that they went ahead and charged him with a hit and run, almost out of spite, like an afterthought. They said, you know what, asshole, we can't get you on the DUI, but we're still going to nail you for the hit and run. And that was stupid because that ultimately was illogical and a much weaker charge. Now, he ends up walking away from it because I helped him, which was great, and I was really proud to do this case. But you see how it disrupted his life and it messed up his job, and it's something that's going to take him a while to recover from. Being charged with any kind of crime is not pleasant.
So when you go out to meet him, you know, meet him outside on the porch, don't let him come into your house. And close the door behind you.
I couldn't agree more.
And not leave the door open behind you.
By the way, leaving the door open, you know, a certain amount of things, like when they're on the porch, for example, they can look in the windows. Maybe they see something or they see something that is suspicious. You know, that's what they call probable cause. Generally speaking, when you see you're pulled over on the side of the road, the cops have a flashlight and they're flashing into the floor of the front seat and on the passenger seat. And they're looking at what's going on in the car. And, you know, they could see, I don't know, let's say a shell casing from a gun. Now, that might be perfectly innocent. But, you know, they see the shell casing. All of a sudden, the pullover is, you know, a potential felony. Everyone's out of the car. They're searching the whole car. You know, who needs that? Why are you allowing them to come into your house and to increase the probability of them investigating you and giving them all kinds of things? You know, cops are taught.
Additionally, they can pull anything out of their ass. Like if they see a vase sitting on the coffee table there, they say, oh, I think that's a bong, right?
Well, I don't know, you know, we don't want to give them something ridiculous, but let's say that they're investigating a robbery and now they're in your house and they see you have two televisions, which is some screwed up reason that you have two televisions, but now they're thinking maybe one of those TVs was from the robbery they're investigating. You know, you're basically, you know, cops are trained to investigate and to be aware of things and to notice things that the average person doesn't notice. And when you're in these situations and the cop's in your house, he's looking around making notes. And I guess you're right. If he sees something that looks like a bong, you know, I might look at it and not even notice, but he looks at it and he knows what a bong looks like. And he's aware of it and he's looking for that kind of thing. And now all of a sudden he's saying, wait a minute, you have a bong? Do you have a marijuana license? Oh, you don't? You know, whose is that? You know, you don't need all these paths being opened up. There's no reason to be so damn helpful to people that are looking to put you away.
Well, fortunately, I'm from Washington State, so,
well,
you know, doing stuff
you guys
like that.
Got it smart.
Your own home, you know, none of his business.
No,
so.
We still have to get licenses and whatnot, but Washington is doing it right. Just done with it, open, straight up. And I'm proud to be licensed there, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, Tom, take me out with a bong rip, please.
Okay, here you go. Art in Kingman, Arizona. You are with Adam Zaks. Hello.
Hi there, Adam.
Hey, Art. How are you?
Doing good. I know this is kind of off your DUI topic tonight.
That's
but
fun.
I have a son who I'd like to get his juvenile record expunged, and also I've got a question about a little incident I had with the law in Georgia, if you can get that expunged. I know you don't have... You advertise you're on the bar in Arizona and California, but can you work in Georgia?
Well, there are certain ways that lawyers that aren't licensed in some states can still practice in those states in a limited way. So I may be able to help you. But broadly speaking, you should certainly call me after the show. We can go over this. But broadly speaking, most states have what California has, which is a way of expunging less serious offenses. And what's also nice, and California does this and other states do, that even a more serious offense can be reduced. So if you have, for example, a felony conviction, you can have it reduced to a misdemeanor and then have it expunged. Or if it's just a misdemeanor in the first place, it can be expunged. The idea is the states want you to be able to kind of turn over a new leaf And so let's say you have a conviction and you did everything you're supposed to do and you did your probation or you paid your fines or whatever, and now it's many years later. And the idea is that, you know, you're a good person and you, you know, made a mistake, whatever, but you're flying right now and you're doing the right thing. You can go in, and I've done this for many, many people. I have to say, you know, it's not expensive, and it's one of the things that I really enjoy doing. It's a lovely thing. It's a thing of real purity where you're essentially, you know, undoing the wrong from your past, and your conviction is actually undone, overturned, withdrawn, and destroyed. And the file is actually shredded or burned or whatever, and it's as though it never happened. That's a lovely thing, and people really are happy. I'm very happy to do it for people. That's called expungement. Now, with respect to juvenile crimes, something that I used to actually do a lot. I still do it, but not as much. But I specialize in helping juveniles, and there are special courts in most states for juveniles. Generally speaking, unless they're very serious, where you have like a 15 or a 16-year-old who commits a murder or something very, very serious, generally speaking, I don't know exactly what your son did, but those courts are secret. And the findings and so forth, although they are serious, they can take these juveniles and put them into disciplinary places and halls of, you know, juveniles for until they're 21 or whatever, and, you know, prosecute them in various ways. Generally, those records are confidential, and those things are kept secret, and probably your son's thing falls into that, though there are ways to also request that those files be destroyed. There are some rules, particularly in, I think, New York and I think California, some other states, where after 5 years or after 7 years or something like that, that those are automatically destroyed. They definitely have a different attitude in terms of someone, let's say, I don't know, 15, who commits a crime. They try not to punish them as an adult in the same way. They try to give them therapy and treatment and help them. And the idea is that somehow they're going to, you know, learn from the mistake and not continue. And they don't want them to have that juvenile conviction be something that, you know, hurts them throughout their whole life. That maybe somehow at 15 or whatever, there's still hope for them. And, you know, interestingly, the juvenile arrests and juvenile convictions, it used to be probably 95%, you know, boys, and that's no longer the case. Girls are now getting involved in shoplifting and crimes and violence and prostitution and you name it, and it's now about 50-50, believe it or not. And those cases are, you know, a big problem for the society, and something that I certainly can help you with, and also with your son in terms of his past. But these are for me, I think, a lovely thing to do. It's really exciting for me when I get the certificate and show the guy that he's clean as a whistle and that his prior conviction has been expunged. It's a very nice thing to do. And people are really happy because they've had this thing sort of hanging over them that now is gone. It's great.
All right. Thank you for that, Art. Appreciate it. Let me get one more in here before the break. Justin. In Walnut Creek, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And this is kind of in line, actually, with the last caller. But I'm in California, too, and I was wondering about that new Prop 47, about how you can get your low-level felonies reduced down, and I was just kind of wondering what the deal with that was and the process and what's involved with it.
Well, there's definitely a few things that go on. I know what you mean, of course. There's been things where they're trying to do deferred judgments, and they've made them actually much broader than they used to. You know, I was saying before how you have hundreds of UI arrests every day, and there's lots of other arrests for all sorts of things. You know, there's this politician thing where they go on, you know, when they're campaigning and they say, we want more police, we want, you know, more, you know, cracking down on crime and so forth. Well, one of the realities of that is that you have lots and lots and lots of people that get arrested. And, you know, it can be a ruinous thing where you can't get a job later on in your life because you have a criminal conviction. And there's been a lot of consideration that, you know, aside from like the really serious crimes like murder and so forth or rape or whatever, that in people on the misdemeanors and lower level felonies, that there has to be a way to maybe have someone, for example, who gets arrested for some kind of drug crime, get a deferred judgment where he goes to, you know, 12-step programs and other kinds of treatment programs. He, you know, stops using the drugs. He fixes his life up. Then he goes back to court, let's say a year later, and they drop the case. You know, that maybe this is a way of helping the person rather than just punishing them and destroying, you know, of their life in some way. And in terms of what you're talking about, and this is true for what I talked about before with the expungements, again, these are people that have already pled guilty to felonies, but they were less serious felonies. And there are ways to, as I said, request, you know, kind of a two-step process where you request that it gets reduced to a misdemeanor and then gets expunged. And that's something that I've done lots of times, and it definitely works. Normally speaking, there are what they call wobblers in law, which are criminal case, you know, charges that can be charged either way. So it's very common when I have someone who's on the edge of something, he may be charged with a felony, but sometimes when you're negotiating some kind of a plea, you say to the prosecutor, look, he'll plead guilty, because I don't know, let's say he's really guilty, but it's like it's a tough case. But you say, okay, he'll plead guilty, but he'll plead guilty to a misdemeanor of that offense rather than the felony, because the felony is much more serious and it has a, you know, much greater impact, legally speaking, in terms of the punishment and the crime itself. And you see, when you talk about these props and so forth, a lot of these things.
Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, I was just saying that I was referring more specifically to this new Prop 47, where it's like you can get your felonies without a trial reduced down to misdemeanors, certain whatever. You know, because I was convicted for stolen property under $950 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, there you go. Now, there's a serious, you know, I don't know the exact circumstances, but that's a serious crime, but it's not like, you know, it's not like you killed someone, right? So, you know, you could always write that off to some kind of a youthful indiscretion. And I think what the state is trying to do, and in California we have these propositions which are put directly to the people in ballots and so forth, where, you know, the society is trying to say, look, we have people that commit crimes, but that doesn't mean, quote unquote, you know, throw away the key, you know, lock them up and get rid of them. There's some way of trying to deal with someone like you that may have made a mistake, and now you're sorry and you're turned your life around, and I don't know, you got married, you got kids, you're a good guy, you know, the hell with that past you have. And these propositions make a way for you to clean that and to deal with that, and I'd be happy to help you with that, of course.
All right, good.
Good call. Thank you so much for that, Justin. I appreciate it. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Adam will tell you how you can get in touch with him. And we might even have another phone call here coming up. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, P1s. Our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
Yo, bitches. It's the man. Cut. Beep. Oh, come on. I was just going to get here to tell you. Okay. Okay. No, well, we can cut it in. So. All right. Yo, bitches, this is Manju, here to tell you about a special event, Gary and Dino Show, Show 600, live, March 26, 2015, at 7 p.m. Pacific, on blowmeuptom.com. Remember, don't be stupid.
We want to thank Devin Bronson and the boys at Black Box for pitching in and helping to sponsor our third anniversary party. And to celebrate the occasion, now through April 2nd, they're offering 20% off for Tom Likas Show listeners only. Just go to bnaudio.com. That's bnaudio.com and enter promo code TOM to get your 20% off the black box. Built to play loud and take a beating, this simple-to-use, high-power, plug-and-play speaker can be used anywhere, like your house, your apartment, your garage, your backyard. It even works in cars and trucks with the included 12-volt car charger. The black box easily connects to anything with a headphone or RCA output, like your TV, your smartphone, iPod, computer, gaming console, and more. They even include the connection cables. The black box. It's handcrafted from real wood, and it puts those mass-produced plastic speakers to shame. Plus, it costs over $100 less. Take advantage of their Tom Likas Show third anniversary special by going to bnaudio.com and enter promo code TOM to get your 20% off the black box. Then, go ahead. Crank it.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number here. 901-3000-TOM. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me email, which I love and I respond to personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, Vincent in Glendale, California. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Hello.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Tom. I love the segment. Thank you guys for doing this. What do you do when you get pulled over? What are the do's and don'ts when you get pulled over? Do I have to sign the ticket? Do I ask for the sergeant to come out? What do I do and what can I do?
Well, I think, generally speaking, you want to not argue and not fight, okay? You want the cop to not remember you. You don't want to be this one that sticks out. So remember, the police are interacting with lots and lots of people every day, and they are going to come to court months and months in the future, and you don't want to be the case that they remember. So you talk about, you know, hello, officer, I'm going to reach in to get my registration. You don't want to make any sudden moves. The police are very aware of where your hands are because hands kill. And so you want to have your hands on the steering wheel at 10 and 2. You don't want to have anything strange going on. And you just kind of cooperating. You say, here's my license. Here's my registration. Cops will try to set you up. They'll say to you, do you know why I pulled you over? And, you know, a lot of people confess. They go, oh, I've been drinking and driving, man. Or I was swerving because I'm drunk. I mean, shut up. You say, no, officer, I really don't know. And you just want to be a cool customer. If the cops pulled you over, for example, something like speeding or whatever, you could say, you know, I'm really sorry. I'm a little nervous. Can you give me a break? I'd really appreciate it. I didn't mean it. You know, you try to apologize. I think that works especially if you're a very attractive woman. You can act dumb or whatever, and a cop will give you a pass. A lot of women tell me that works.
And a lot of girls cry, too.
I'm not sure about crying. I don't know. Maybe crying works. I'm not sure. I think if a lady cries, that might generate some sympathy. But
what do you think about getting extensions? Like, let's say if I get like an extension on the day the officer's not working, will they still show up to court?
Oh, well, what happens is, I mean, extensions are always good, but, you know, that's just like 30 days or whatever. But, you know, generally speaking, when you talk about, I guess you're talking about a speeding ticket or whatever, or a regular ticket,
yeah,
or a stop sign or whatever, generally speaking, they actually have a coordination system where you're getting a notice, and they also send a notice to the police officer. They book the court dates on days that they know that your officer is available. And generally speaking, I mean, it's possible that he goes on vacation or he gets injured or whatever, like anyone else. But, you know, he is probably going to be at the court hearing. There were a lot of cops that were lazy about this, and the counties realized how much money they're losing. If there's a cop that doesn't show up to a court date, and let's say on that day, you know, there's like 100 people there, but let's say 8 or 10 of them are for him, for his, you know, ticket writing, those tickets are $200 each or $300 each. 10 of them is $3,000. And you better believe that the counties don't like losing money, you know?
So, do they get commission? Do the police get commission for that?
No, no. Thank God they don't. I think in Mexico they do, you know? I think when the cop pulls you over and he says, you know, you better give me $200 right here, right now, I think he's getting to keep that money. But thank God in the USA we don't have that going on. I don't think the cops have what you would call a direct interest. Certainly the departments get part of the money. And, you know, later on I guess they buy, you know, more uniforms or guns or whatever. But the cop is not getting a commission, you know, in any direct way. And theoretically, that's why I said to be a sheep. You don't want to be the one he remembers because he has no particular spiteful reason to want to see you convicted. On the other hand, I do know that they are under pressure. There were a lot of cops that were making deals or they would let things get, you know, reduced or whatever. There are some offenses that are like, you know, guilty, but like there's no points associated. So it was like less serious. And I know that a lot of the departments are telling the cops not to do that. And they're getting angry at them for cutting deals. They don't want them cutting deals. On the other hand, I have done many a case against a police officer and I trip them up. They make mistakes. They are careless. They make mistakes in the facts. And it is something that, you know, can be done properly. You can definitely, you know, using proper counsel, get out of almost anything. But the reality is that the contact you have with the police is very serious. And there is this weird thing where people are afraid of authority. And they start cooperating. They start talking. And they start incriminating themselves. And this goes back to the same thing that Tom and I always talk about what a bunch of girls today's men are. And the best thing I can say, above all, is just shut up. Shut the fuck up. You know, tell the cop, I don't know, I'm sorry, can you give me a break? Okay, take the ticket. You mentioned the question of signing. This is something that is important. You do need to sign it. And what you're doing by signing it is not confessing guilt or anything like that. You're just promising that you're going to appear at the court hearing, which is usually several weeks or months away. So when the cop fills it out, he's going to tell you, I've written you a ticket, and here it is, and here's your court date, and here's the court you have to go to. And then you have to sign the acknowledgement of that, which is essentially you're being released. He's not keeping you. He's not arresting you. He's just going to let you go based on your promise to come to court. Sometimes people are pissed off and they're on the side of the road and they start saying, oh, I'm not going to sign that or whatever. If you do that, I mean, it's your choice, but if you do that, you're going to end up being taken in. And for a speeding ticket, that's stupid, you know?
All right, Vincent, thank you. Let me get Mike in Sacramento in here. Mike, you're on the Tom Likas Show with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs.
Hey, Mike.
Hello.
What's up, guys? Glad to be on the phone with you.
Great.
I had maybe a two-part question. I just wanted you to give me some generalities as far as, you know, when you're pulled over for whatever reason, you know, obviously being polite, you know, maybe asking for forgiveness, things like that. But I smoke weed regularly. I haven't gotten my card yet. And
why, Mike? Why not get a card? Please get a card.
I know.
It's so simple. It's so easy.
It's a little difficult for me. I mean, does it matter where your residency is?
No.
I mean, because I'm between Nevada and California. So,
well, California,
you know,
but
they're going to work in California. Are they going to respect them the same?
I don't
or
think
is
so.
Or kind of irrelevant once you're in court?
I don't know where you are at. I mean, you shouldn't be smoking marijuana, even if you have a card, when you're driving, if that's the point. But
I guess my question is, it's in my system. Now, let's say it's, you know, that it's not in the car, you're not smoking, you're not carrying anything, but it's in your system. I mean, do you always refuse the breathalyzer, refuse the sobriety test when you're clear, you know, when you're not drunk?
Yeah,
you don't want to go to the hospital.
No, I understand. Marijuana is a tough one because there isn't any kind of set agreement by experts what intoxicated is. We have this standard based typically on one drink, which is alcohol, 0.08% by volume or whatever. You don't have that with marijuana. You know, if you got pulled over having smoked marijuana and you blew the breathalyzer, it would come back zero because it's measuring alcohol, not marijuana. And broadly speaking, yeah, the only way to really check for marijuana is this blood test, and that has to be something that they're suspicious of. So they have to pull you over, they have to smell it, or for example, they have to see it, and you have a bag of it sitting on the seat or some, you know, thing like that. That would be very strange for you to do. You know, it is a great protection to have a marijuana card. And marijuana in California and most states is still quite illegal. And people get prosecuted. It's not funny. I mean, it still goes on. I see it all the time. And I talk to people, and it's like, you know, why be a fool? If you can get a prescription for marijuana for less than $100 from a doctor, and that protects you. You have the right to have it. You have the right to buy it in a store. You can have it at your house. You can smoke it. I mean, why would you not get that? It's so convenient and so obvious. I really recommend it.
Because I'm between both states, and I'm not sure where I'm going to settle.
What does that mean, between,
you know,
both states?
Is it a cup in each state, or?
I guess. I mean, I'm not exactly sure about the connection between the two states.
But I work in California during the week, and I go back on the weekend. So.
Okay, well, I would get it, I guess. I'm guessing both states or whatever. But the point is, there's no reason not to do it. It makes no sense. And it gives you a lot of protection. And it's going to be this kind of thing where if the cops are screwing around with you, you say, look, I've got my license. Here it is. That turns the whole thing away. Now, all of a sudden, they don't want to prosecute you anymore. They're already walking away from it. You know, for them, it's very specific.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be driving. You got to be weaving. They got to pull you over. They got to smell marijuana. They got to get you to admit that you were smoking. A lot of people do admit it, which is stupid. They have to see the smoke or see the marijuana. Then they have to take you into the hospital and give you a specific blood test, you know, for marijuana. So, I mean, you are so far away from being arrested if you just play smart. Now, marijuana, when I was, you know, growing up, was this serious drug, and it was like, you know, real counterculture to smoke it or whatever. Now it's commonplace, and there are marijuana stores that accept credit cards, for God's sake.
Now, does it? Yeah, you took me off my point, my thought.
So, what was your second one? You said you had two.
Well. I guess it isn't two. I mean, it was two parts, I guess.
Okay.
Maybe. But anyway, I appreciate it. Thank you.
I say, why break the law when you don't need to?
Exactly.
Right? Good call.
Hey,
Thank you so much.
When are we going to get you your marijuana card?
As soon as I have a minute, Adam. As you know, I'm always running.
All right. Because Gary told me
you and I have
Gary
and I
told
not
me
the
you're
same
never gonna
room,
you know
right
but
now?
Gary told me you're never gonna do it, so I don't know.
No, he's wrong because I told you one time I was very nervous about that idea.
Yeah.
That,
all right, I know, being
you
on
put
a
your
list.
Name on a list in a database, and then later, you know, Ted Cruz is the president, and suddenly the FBI wants to visit you.
I know, but you said you got over that now, right?
Well, I did because pot's been legal now for all these different applications. Including stress, and you know I feel a lot of stress.
You got to tell that to the doctor, and I've got someone on the way to the radio ranch.
Really?
So, yeah, so it's very convenient in Agoura Hills.
That's very convenient.
So you let me know, Tom. I'm ready for you. I'm going to take
right.
you. I'm going to accompany you.
All right. Sounds good to me. Can I start getting my medication immediately once I get my prescription?
Absolutely. You go directly to the store from the doctor. It's effective immediately.
I like that.
We'll get you your medication.
That's kind of like when they have Eye Exam 2000 right next to LensCrafters.
Damn right. You get your prescription, yeah. And then you get the glasses, and you walk out with the whole thing done. One-stop
bing,
shopping.
Bang,
this
boom.
Is America, you know?
I like it. All right, Adam, tell everybody again where they can get in touch with you.
I'm so excited. We have, like, more calls, Tom. Unbelievable.
I know.
I feel guilty to hang up on these people.
You know, we'll get them again next week. You know, they can call in any Tuesday.
You can call me directly, of course, 800-340-7320. I do get free consultations, for God's sake, so it's no problem. 800-340-7320. Check my website, www.adamlawyer.com, and adam@adamlawyer.com is my email.
Very nice. All right, Adam, thank you so much. Adam Sachs. And, you know, we have a bonus hour with Adam that's every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time. 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Radio would never, ever let us do this. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beers.
I can't even top that.
Beer Magazine. There's another drunk dialing app out. This one called Drunk Mode. The app only lets you make calls if you can solve brain teasers.
Yeah, there was email was set up like this a while back where people were required to answer questions or do mathematical problems. And therefore, if you couldn't do it, it wouldn't let you send an email. This is much along the same lines. Not bad.
Right. Drunk Mode lets you block certain contacts for a period of up to 12 hours while out for a night of boozing.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, in other words, you don't have to solve brain teasers like to call 911 or something. You know.
Right. It's just your exes.
Yes.
And people like that.
Anybody you suspect you might attempt to drunk dial while you're fully shit faced. I've seen some power dialing going on.
Oh, big time.
It happens. More drunk in the news. A waitress accidentally gets a toddler drunk by serving her a little sangria.
Well, it depends if the sangria was good.
During her dad Derek's birthday dinner at a Texas roadhouse in North Carolina, two-year-old Gabriella Gilliam started acting as though she was drunk. She was staggering. She was kissing everything.
That's what her mom said.
Soon she was vomiting.
Oh, definitely. She had a hell of a night.
She had to be rushed to the hospital. Turns out that waitress who thought she was serving cranberry juice to the little churros.
Turns out.
It was sangria.
It was sangria. What a nice time that toddler had, though, for a while.
Mm-hmm. Right? Kissing everything. Imagine the little...
Oh, listen. Many of those nights. kid shit herself would have been a fucking slam dunk.
A 25-year-old Ohio mom is facing disorderly conduct charges for allegedly swinging her baby carrier at a group of people while the baby was inside the baby carrier.
Well, it was like a roller coaster ride for the baby.
There was a little bit of a scuffle going on outside. Outside the Red Lobster.
First of all. Oh, this is terrible. But what happened was is they police say that they got a bunch of 911 calls about this intoxicated patron. By the way, if you listen to 911 calls, the woman had actually dropped the kid in the
She dropped the carrier on the pavement.
She was belligerent. Right. And you know what it was? Was this Long Island iced tea business again.
They were trying to stop her from driving. She started swinging her baby at people, and then she just dropped the kid on the fucking pavement.
Yeah. The woman was, in fact, stopped, so she didn't get a DUI because she didn't get in the car, but people had blocked her at the Red Lobster. Imagine enjoying a nice surf and turf with some rock lobster, and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose at the Red Lobster.
Yeah. 46-year-old woman on a British Airways flight from Jamaica to London got naked and started to masturbate on the plane.
What's wrong with that?
A little crazy.
It depends what she looks like, I guess.
No kidding.
Because if it was good, I don't know why.
Do you think they'd let that go?
Would complain. I'll tell you what, our friends at British Airways are having their hands full recently.
In more ways than one.
Yeah. With turning around that flight because of the guy that took the crap, it smelled so bad they had to turn the thing around. Conrad Hilton going ballistic, and now this woman taking off her clothes and going to town.
Another broad had to be forcibly removed from the Palm Beach International Airport after she became so drunk that she slapped a deputy during her screening process.
Oh, yeah.
She showed up at the gate, and she appeared to be fucked up, and so they were like, uh-uh, you're not getting on a plane. She apparently said she took Xanax and drank.
I tell you, only a half a beer and a Xanax is what does it. Our friend Victoria Rioto, it looks like she's one of mine, it looks like...
just by the mugshot alone, looks like her and Freddie Wilhite could definitely hang out together.
She looks combative. Just her face looks combative. I don't know why you want
her
to fight with
drooping,
her.
Her jowls are drooping, and she has glazed over eyes.
Let the drunk broad on the plane. You'll be fine.
That's sloppy out here. Fuck this.
Finally, a pick alert for you. It's Bahati Prinsloo. Bahati Prinsloo. Is this the one that's married to...
Yes, unfortunately. Bitch. I don't even want to say
she's in a sheer bra.
Right.
If you ever wanted to see her titties, you've seen them right here. She got puffy nipples.
Yeah.
She got puffy nipples.
She does. But it's worth it, and it's hard to believe that, you know, that Goon 5 guy gets that.
Dino says it's worth it.
Yeah, W-U-R-F.
Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary's Dino.
I'm Mrs. Prang.
Be sure to check out the podcast. Join us right here on the stream this coming Thursday night, March 26th, 7 p.m. Pacific. It's Gary and Dino Show number 600. 600 shows. Nothing to show for it. This.
Yes.
600. Boy. GaryandDino.com is where you go for the podcast. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today. Enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
This is the new normal.
He better not be hurting my baby.